There are many passages in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that appear in one or other of the Gospels and not in one or other of the Gospels. There are a handful of events and a handful of words spoken by Jesus that appear in all four of the Gospels. And I would suggest to you, by that very fact, we have testimony that those first generation believers regarded those events and those words so important that it could not be the good news, it could not be the gospel without containing them. And one of those events is what we commemorate today, the baptism of the Lord. Throughout the history of Israel, at times and in various places, God promises a Savior. God promises the Messiah. God promises that He will establish His reign upon the earth. And that was the longing and the hope and the desire of a people, generation after generation. In the Hebrew Scriptures, there are a variety of ways in which God describes the qualities and the events surrounding the life of this Messiah. And all of those were to pique the interest, stimulate the imagination, help people open their eyes and long with their hearts and minds and souls for that fulfillment. One of the great places in the Hebrew Scriptures where these words are spoken is in the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the contemporaries of Jesus would know those prophecies, would know those words, because they were very much part of the religious education and the worship of that people. There are three events or three moments in the story of the baptism of the Lord which are directly related to the words of Isaiah. In the beginning of the 61st chapter of Isaiah the prophet, God says, I will tear open the heavens that all may know my presence and hear my voice. The people standing around the Jordan River would know those words of Isaiah the prophet. And as Jesus comes out of the water, the heavens are torn open. In the 64th chapter, at the beginning of Isaiah the prophet, the beginning verses, God says of the Messiah, the Spirit of God rests upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to release captives, to open the dungeons, to proclaim a year of favor from God. And again, the people who stood around that Jordan River would know that promise made in the 64th chapter of Isaiah the prophet. And then they hear a voice from the heavens, just as God promised in the 61st chapter, I will tear the heavens open so that they may see my presence and hear my voice. And the voice speaks clearly, This is my Son, the Beloved. My favor rests upon him. There is no doubt in the minds of those people that this is the Anointed One. This is the Messiah. This is the one who has been promised. This is the fulfillment. This is the kingdom come among us. For Jesus, it is the moment that inaugurates his public ministry. For Jesus, this is the moment in which he is defined as the Messiah, the suffering servant, the Son of God, the Savior. And everything that plays out from this moment is the fulfillment of what occurred in the Jordan River. The fulfillment of the anointing by the Spirit and the fulfillment of the Word of God spoken over him. Well, that's terribly important. It is the touchstone for Jesus' ministry, and it is the touchstone for the proclamation of his identity. Now, from the very earliest part of the Christian era, the practice of Christian baptism has been related to the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan. And for a variety of very good reasons. Because in a very similar fashion, what occurred to Jesus in the Jordan River has occurred in each and every one of our lives through the sacrament of baptism. That same Spirit that rushed upon Jesus is the Spirit that has been poured out upon us. And in that baptism, you and I are established, are constituted in a relationship to God that is unbreakable, that is forever. Paul says that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death, and if we have died with him in baptism, we are destined to rise with him in glory. Paul says that we have become children of God and heirs of the kingdom. Our very nature is deeply touched and transformed in the waters of baptism. And our destiny as human beings, our destiny is put before us and is created within us. And just as the ministry and life of Jesus flows from that touchstone, so our lives flow from that moment of baptism. It is for the believer the most significant event that has occurred in his or her life. It is the event that makes all the difference. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that if you do not know this, that you spend some time researching it. What is the anniversary date of your baptism? We should know that. People know what their birthday is. People know what their wedding anniversary day is. Some people know the day they closed on their house. All of that pales in comparison to the event of baptism, the most significant event to occur in a believer's life. And we should know that date. We should also know where it happened. And if it's possible, Once in a while, we should go back to that place. For each and every one of us, that is holy ground. I was baptized on May 3rd, 1942, at the Church of St. Luke on Summit Avenue. Not very often, but periodically, every year or so, I make a point to stop at the church and just walk in the quiet of an afternoon and sit down in one of those pews and just recall for myself that this is the place, this is the spot, this is the physical ground where God first touched my life in pouring forth his Spirit. The place of baptism is, if you will, a personal place of pilgrimage. You know, we remember the home we grew up in, and we have some fond stories to tell about that home. We remember so much of the events of our lives and have stories to tell about those. We may not have stories about our baptism because, for almost all of us, I'm sure, we were just infants. For many people, there are pictures of that event. And those would be precious mementos of an event in my life of which I have no memory. Sometimes parents arrange at some point in a young person's life to have a copy of that person's baptismal certificate and have it framed and give it to that young person as a reminder of his or her baptism. Sometimes along with that, parents will entrust to children or grandparents to grandchildren the pictures or some of the pictures that were taken at the event of baptism. Those symbols, those material items are terribly important in calling our minds and our hearts back to the point of baptism. When all of us were baptized at one point in the ceremony, perhaps it was to our godparents that a candle was given. And the words, "This child has been enlightened by Christ. May the child always walk as a child of the light, so that when the Lord comes, the child may go forth and meet the Lord in glory." And many people have that baptismal candle. Again, a symbol, if you will, a kind of sacrament of the event. There was a gentleman in this parish who passed away about perhaps a dozen years ago or so. Before he died, he told me he wanted to be buried with his baptismal candle. He'd been baptized 70 years earlier. And I said, "Where's the candle?" He said, "It's rolled up, it's wax paper is rolled around it, and tin foil is rolled around the wax paper, and it's in the back of the freezer." Sure enough, you got all the clutter out from the freezer. There in the back was this 70-year-old baptismal candle. And sure enough, in honor of his wish, he was placed in that casket, and in his hands were placed that candle. And what he knew very well was that on the day of his baptism, that candle was lighted. And he knew very well the words were that he was always to walk as a person of light, so that when the Lord comes, he may go forth to meet him. And he was bound and determined he would have that candle. and burn it bright the day he met his Lord. We need to have symbols. We need to have signs to bring to our mind the importance of events in our lives. For Jesus, that baptism in the Jordan was the touchstone of his ministry. For you and for me, the moment of that baptism is the moment in which we received our destiny.